I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming and drummers. I'm George Pickering and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
Because she's gone, what's the point in paying for my ticket?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about croissants.
Yeah.
George can fuck off and I can sit home, crack open a gin and watch the footy. Thank heavens. It's Thursday. It's me.
Yeah.
It's George. It's Drum and Drummer.
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. What you got, boy?
What do you want first?
Well, you mentioned... Well, you know, it's cold.
Yeah.
It's the doldrums of January. How are you sleeping, boy? How are you sleeping?
We're going with sleep talk. Well, I'm sleeping more. I feel like this, you know, the last year, going into this year, I've become more like an animal that hibernates, you know?
Yeah.
So in the summer, I was out. I was out all the time. Yeah. I worked more in the summer than I've ever worked. Almost in the way that a squirrel is getting more nuts than he's ever got. He's just getting loads of nuts because he's going, well, there's loads of nuts about at the moment. It's summer, sure. But come November, there won't be so many nuts. So that's what I did. And I didn't feel like I slept from April until about October. But my God, I had some nuts at the end of that summer. But then goes into winter, or berries, or whatever they can store. You can't really store berries. As a squirrel, I guess. But got to winter and I was sleeping loads and working less. And I was like, well, actually, this is how squirrels do it. So maybe be more like a squirrel. So I'm still
sleeping. If it's good for the squirrel, it's good for the George.
Yeah, if it works for them,
yeah,
you know.
And they know what they're doing.
They've
nailed that.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's how it should be in general. Work loads in the summer, and then when it gets to winter, just calm down a bit. You know what I mean? Rather than 9 to 5, the same throughout the year.
It's harder to, you know, is it because you're knackered, so you just naturally, obviously gigs die down in winter.
Mm.
But it's just harder when it's darker and colder.
It is harder.
Harder to get that motivation.
And I know I should wake up at about 6:20 tomorrow. Morning, not evening, and already I'm sort of dreading it because I'm like, it's gonna be rough. And then I've got 2 full days at work. It's just, you wake up and it's dark. I have to really get out into the sun, you know, if it's sunny. Otherwise,
maybe you're solar powered.
I think I am a bit. I mean, we've all got to get that vitamin D to some extent.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
you're great at an outdoor gig.
Depressed, yeah.
2 hour set, no problem.
No,
pop
you get some
indoors,
vitamin D and you're vegan.
Dropping down around Seven Nation Army.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're playing for the White Stripes, how's your sleep going?
Good. Sleep is good. But I've just, I knew I was doing it at the time.
Yeah.
But I've just fucked myself for the whole week.
What did
you do? Straight off the bat. I started watching The Traitors.
I was going to say, is this going to be like Ben went on a night out, or...
No, I very much did not go out.
When was this? Last night?
This is last night, yeah. This is last night. And it was, you know, I think their second season's now on, being broadcast at the moment. I've never seen it. I heard about it. I just heard everyone raving about it.
Yeah.
Traitors is great. The Traitors is so good. Oh, you've got to watch The Traitors. And I don't know about you, George. I'm sure most people feel this. When people bang on about how good something is, your resistance kicks in and goes, I'll be the judge of that.
I've never watched Game of Thrones because of that.
Oh, you've never watched anything. So,
well, that is true. But I think I specifically never watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And I delayed watching Game of Thrones for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And I've done it a lot with things. A bit of Game of Thrones, Shawshank Redemption. Schindler's List. Keep it light, Ben. But you get it's quite common, isn't it, when people keep raving about something.
Yeah.
To go, and I don't know what it is. I'd love to, a psychiatrist or whatever, psychologist, one of the psychs.
Yeah.
To go, oh, it's because of this. But you go, it's almost like you'll go, I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're telling me I like it, will you? Oh, you think you know me?
Well, I don't. Yeah, maybe it's part of, and I don't think it is this, but your mate, I won't say his name, who doesn't like anything if it's popular, but almost deliberately goes out of his way to be like, "Well, I'm not watching that because obviously it's popular." But if it's an indie film, oh yeah, all over that. Yeah,
and it is hard because Mrs. Brown's Boys is popular, but that is a pile of dog shit.
Yeah.
So you go, well, which large number of people like it?
Yeah.
If it's the Mrs. Brown's Boys lot, get fucked.
Mm.
But it's obviously popular for a reason.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Anyway, so I was like, I'm going to give it a go. Mm. I'm not the biggest reality TV fan. It's a weird blend of reality and game show.
Yeah.
Not a hugest fan of that sort of stuff. But I've been known to watch them. I've been known to dip in the old Bake Off. I've watched a bit of I'm a Celeb.
Yeah.
You know? I watched the first ever season of Big Brother.
Yeah.
You know? We are the generation.
Everything you've watched that's...
No.
That's the episode. I've watched this.
I've watched episode 4 of The Bill. It's not even been in The Bill. Come on. can I see your tickets, please? Sorry, anyway.
Ben's quoting extras again.
Yeah.
Carry on.
That's for you, Roger. Right. And then I was like, I'll give it a go. 10 p.m., half 10.
Oh, my God. Just get to it. Yeah, go on.
Popped on episode 1. Let's see what's going on. Oh, yeah. Yeah, cool. Oh, I think I was up to about 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I watched 6 episodes.
Yeah.
They do this, like, challenge thing in the middle of the day where they earn money. Oh, skip that. I just want to fucking know who's being voted out or who's, you know, who's being murdered. Not literally murdered, but who's being. So, but as I was doing it, I knew I was just fucking myself over for the whole week.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, but then I'm like, well, I did have a nap, so I'm not immensely tired. So just go with it. I'll just watch another one. Fuck it. And so I've started the week on Monday. I'm very little sleep. Let's plough on.
Well, good.
But
yeah, I didn't sleep very well.
Because you've never watched films, so...
Well, I have,
Is there any part of that that is like because people say they're good?
No. It's nothing to do with that. I think it's just I'm more of a TV person. And I think I almost see everyone else as, well, everyone watches a lot of telly. Like anything I say to Elfie, I'm like, oh, I've seen, there's this new show. I've seen it. I'm like, oh, okay, you know? And I always feel like, wow, how does everyone watch everything that's out? But my thing is...
It's because we don't go out.
Well, I think also I watch the same stuff. So I don't really watch anything new. I sort of watch Peep Show and just stuff like that.
Just
almost for like background noise.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. But no, it's never been like that. It's never, I don't know, just... It's not like a sort of rebellion. Like, I'm not going to watch it because it's popular. Slumdog Millionaire? No, you know. it's like, oh, I'll watch it. But it is good because there's a lot of things I haven't seen, you know. So
Saving them up.
I don't know when I'll watch them. But yeah, anyway. Right, moving on though, because
What you got?
You know, we're often, I wouldn't say told off for not talking about drums, but it's been noted that we don't talk, and I don't feel like the past few episodes I've mentioned drums at all. So I've got some drum stuff.
Sure.
Book stuff. Real nitty gritty shit. But it's worth it, I think.
Oh, that's one thing. No matter how good a book is, I ain't reading it.
Yeah, that's
so
yeah.
Just that's put that out enough. There.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
The Bible, so, forget it.
So, which one?
The Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Who? Too long.
I mean, who's read the Bible all the way through, you know? From back
bloody,
to back.
Bloody swats.
Without checking your phone, you know? Like. Anyway, so, obviously, I'm still having lessons with Pat Carley.
How are they going?
Great. Really good. But I've started doing my own, what I call, independent study. Because that's what it is. I didn't coin that phrase or anything. So, so basically, you know, we've been working on my technique in the lessons with Pat. And I've started going, well, why don't I use this technique for good? Yeah? So, book, stick control. One that Connor, I don't know why I'm sure. I mean, you can see it, but the listeners can't
show me,
it.
Yeah.
But this is something that Connor Hopkins spoke about. And I was thinking, well, I'm going to go back through this book and have a, and do it from front to back, cover
to
cover.
So you already owned it?
Already owned it.
Sure.
But never really used it. So basically, it just has variations of hand exercises. So the first chapter, call it a chapter, single beat combinations. Pick one, actually, pick a number between 1 and 72.
Ooh. Let's go 51.
51. Okay, so that's right, right, left, right, 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 left, right, 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 left, right, 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 left, right. That's
what's
that.
The same?
Yeah. Pick it up. Let's go 42. Left, right, left, left, right, 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 left, right, left, left, right, right, etc. Things like that.
Are they just eighths? What are they? What's the rhythm? Rhythm.
Yeah, it's... did you say rhythm?
Rhythm.
Yeah, no, they are just eighths. And,
just eighths. And, what, 4 bars?
2 bars.
2 bars.
And I'm just sort of doing them just as taps, just keeping them light. But anyway, the book goes on like that, and then it goes into triplets, flam beats, doubles, stuff like that. The thing is, I've learned all these bits with Pat, and we're continuing to learn them, so I'm like, that's good. So that's book number one. There's a trilogy to this. So that's stick control. And then I thought, God, when I'm done with that, where can I go from there? I'll tell you where I can go.
Stick control two, electric boogaloo.
Not quite. Progressive steps to syncopation for the modern drummer.
Forward by Duncan Goodhue. So.
By Ted Reed. So this book, sort of the same, always the same, sort of the same vibe. You know, it's got patterns with the hands, but now you're involving the kick drum.
Right, so, okay.
So let's go to lesson 5, for example. You know, the first bar is da-da-da-da-da, but you've got the kick following the beats, basically. And then it just kind of gets trickier as it goes on, and there's more variations with...
So it's just kick and then snare,
Kick and snare. Just kick and snare.
And this is building up syncopation between your right foot or your left
and
foot.
And your hands.
If you're a lefty scum.
Lefty and your hands. Play that way. And
okay, stop. Okay, so let's take that exercise 5.
Yeah.
Get it out again.
Well, should we go to a trickier one?
No. All right. Keep it simple.
I can't remember where it was. Lesson 5. Yep.
Right. Bar 1. How long is the how long is it?
Well, it's 4 bars.
4 bars. Okay. Line. So is it just kicks on like
yeah,
crotchets?
Just kicks on the beat. Just
kicks on 1,
basically
2, 3, 4.
Basically falls to the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. And then is the snare rhythm consistent through the 4 bars or does it change?
Yes. Yeah. On this it is. It's da 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 for 4 bars. But then I feel like, well, that's a good question. Yeah, it's kind of like that throughout the book. It doesn't... Oh, no, it does. When you get to like later on in the book, then it changes. So this one, da 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 da
Right, but let's talk about now you practicing that.
Yeah.
Right, so are you doing it on the silent kit?
Yeah.
Silent kit, okay. I'm just trying to get to how long are you spending on like that one exercise?
I'll
when
tell
are
you what
moving
I do.
On? When you,
what
yeah, what's your.
Yeah. Good question. Good questions.
Method. Just because I think it could be quite easy. If you're doing that, like, da 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 da, you know, you're doing one of those things.
Yeah.
It could be very easy to go, oh, yeah, I can play that.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, it's not the point.
No.
It's not about the complexity. It's about, I guess, consistency.
Yep.
Not flamming between the kick and the snare.
So
the kick and the snare essentially landing exactly the same time. What's your self-discipline when you're doing those?
When I practice, so I go through the stuff that I need to do. Yeah. Go on, you had something.
No, what? I was just going, bit of Seven Nation Army.
Yeah.
A few big fills, we're
hour.
Off, done.
Yeah. All the Arctic Monkeys songs. So I do that. I go through all the stuff I need to do, and that might take an hour in itself. But then stick control's actually kind of tricky in a way, because there's some that just sort of, they're not hard, but if you go from one exercise to another, you sort of might have the last one still in your head, and then you have to think of a new one. And the book says play each line 20 times in a row and then move on to, so that's tricky in itself. And at the moment I try and do about half an hour, but sometimes it's, you know, when you get to a point where you're going, this is just not happening. It's basically half an hour or it's not happening anymore.
But and what in your head is making you go, this ain't happening?
It's just, it's kind of, if you play a line and you get to the 17th time and fuck it up, and then you do that again and you keep
and
doing it.
And what do you mean? You fucked up the rhythm?
Just as in the placement. I'm really, like, if I mess it up, I start again. I go, no, you can't count that.
But if you mess up what?
As in, say if it's like this one, right, left, right, right, left, left, repeat. If I go right, left, right, right, left, right, I'm like, nope, start again. Right. So I'm really sort of like disciplined with that, you know, just do it again. But the things that I'm looking to achieve is... It's the timing and it's the consistency. Because when you play through one, you can kind of work on it as you go. First, you're trying to just get the order of the hits. And then you can start going, okay, let's maybe make it softer. And then make sure the taps align. And obviously, I'm playing to a metronome. Make sure it's in time with that. But I know what you mean. Because sometimes you can sort of, you know, because the first one is literally just, hang on, I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah, right, left, repeated, you know, and it's sort of like, that's a roll.
So it's not,
you know.
I guess my point is like, it's not, you're not practicing because they're like musical pieces to be performed. So
no.
The rhythms aren't complicated, you know what I mean? Or like,
no.
It's not about that. It's, I guess, yeah, it's, is it, you know, stick control, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is.
And
it's
being
also
able to not be influenced by just, you know, everyone, you start off with right, left, don't you? A single stroke. So it's just building up that kind of, I guess, would it be like hand independence as well?
I think so. And I think it's also, you know, when people talk about learning better timekeeping, just practice really slowly, you know, if you've never done that before, and just play a beat and don't do anything other than play this beat for 10 minutes. And you, every part of you wants to just play a fill, but you don't. You just stay on it, and it can be boring, but it's good because it's sort of, I don't know. Already, I'd think, well, there's so many good parts to it. You're playing along to a click. You're doing things that sort of might bend your head a bit and go, oh, "What is that? Fuck that up. Start again." And also, yeah, it's just putting the technique I have into practice with different exercises.
I guess that's the other thing. It's like, what's, you know, the priority is I'm just thinking maybe the priority can be misaligned, and you could go, I've got to get the sticking right, and actually it's the sticking secondary. It's making sure you're doing it with good technique.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's perhaps why I was put off by these books when I first got them, because I sort of knew my technique wasn't good. You know, I sort of thought, well, what's the point in playing right, left, if I know that my hands aren't correct? But now I'm pretty confident that my hands are pretty good, you know, for at least tap strokes. So I think, right, well, let's see what I can play in this good technique. It's just basically doing that. It's basically getting a bit of, okay, I can do that, so let's explore what I can do with it. But then the last book, I've got to tell you this, four-way coordination. So this involves both hands and both feet. And this is mad, this book. I mean, it's just sort of like all the variations of right, left on the hands and right, left on the feet. And I can, you know, I'll post some pictures on the pod. But it's just, I think it's, yeah, I think before I sort of tried to use these books and went, well, what's the point? It's almost polishing a turd. What's the point in trying to learn these pieces when I know that my technique's shit? But now it's like, I actually feel confident in my technique. So let's see what I can, let's see what I can learn. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. It's, I mean, I'm still just getting through stick control, but it's nice to have a sort of aim. And it's nice to have something that's sort of not for a gig or not for anything other than,
yeah, play that stick control at a gig, you'll be booed off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
It's meant to be a left there. Oh,
exactly.
Bloody crowd already know what. I know, but the hits.
Yeah. Know the hits. But yeah.
Good.
Books.
How was your gig on the weekend?
Yeah, good. Good segue. Yeah, hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious. So funny. We've played there. We played there last year for a questionable.
It was our first wedding gig of 2023.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, it was my first gig of 2023.
Yeah.
A decade. And it was, we think, very, it was pretty new venue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When we played there last April.
Yeah.
So it's electric drum kits. They obviously had sound concerns. And it was fine. You know, it was fine. And then Neil played there a couple of months ago. And so, and I'd had one of his, I think he described it as top five worst ever gigs.
Wow.
Where they'd obviously had a full season, probably their first full season of having weddings and subsequently bands.
Mm.
And now it wasn't only just electric kit, but no amplifiers.
Yeah.
No amps. Which, off, you know, it's a chat for another time, but it's mental. I could see why they do it.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to keep the volume down. Yeah, but amps have volume knobs.
Yeah.
So it's the person controlling the amp who would be the idiot and turn it up.
Unless,
do you know,
honest,
what I mean?
They usually are, though.
But anyway, yes, you played there again last weekend.
Yeah, my hopes weren't high. We found out it was an 80th birthday party.
Wow. Went,
right, okay. What's that going to be like? And it's electric kit. And we set up, and it was just so quiet. We were so quiet. But the thing was, I got to talk about this because this is quite an interesting drum-related thing. So the first set, we couldn't... Oh, by the way, our agency didn't give us the correct mixer, so we couldn't do any of the in-ears.
Right.
I fucked that up. And so no one had in-ears, so we were just sort of winging it. But it's electric.
What did they give you?
They just gave us some other desk. You know, the rest of the band are livid.
What was it? It wasn't a Behringer?
No.
Was it like a proper, more old school desk?
Old school 70s desk, you know.
Like with faders. And
yeah. So we didn't have in-ears, and we were playing the first set, and I just couldn't hear anything I was playing. So this is something interesting. So I was playing on Ox's kit, our friend Ox. Thank you, Ox, for the kit. And I was sort of playing, I was like, this is bollocks, I can't hear. But the thing was, I've never felt less in control of the band as a drummer, because I could feel everyone sort of changing tempos. Like the singer would perhaps slow down because, you know, say if it's like Valerie, they might be used to playing Valerie slower. So I was like, I feel like this is slowing down. And I was trying to like, come on, everyone, let's pick it up. But it's like, I couldn't do anything because I have no noise, you know. So I was sort of trying to hit harder on the electric kit. But the thing is, the electric kit only goes so loud anyway. So it was completely pointless. But
velocity, I think it was 127.
Yeah. But this is the thing. In the second set, Joe gave me a floor monitor so I could hear myself. But also I looked at the kit and it was like, yeah, there's these bars. And it was like, you don't have to hit it that hard to get it to like the loudest thing. So then I sort of relaxed and I was like, oh, well, there's no point in trying to whack it because it's going to sound the same anyway. And the second set was better. And, you know, people were dancing. It was fine. But I've got to tell you this. This was the funniest thing. So, I mean, for a start, we were so quiet that when Lucy got the tambourine out.
Yeah, that's going to be too loud straight off.
Louder than everything. Yeah. It was like, wow, this is... Thankfully, she's on it. Great tambo player, Lucy. But... But it was like, oh, that's all I can hear now. But so bear that in mind when I tell you in the last four songs, there was a guy who started clapping in the audience, but so badly out of time. It was almost, I thought he was a drummer doing it on purpose, perhaps. Perhaps maybe he's like, but no. And I'll say one other thing. I always get to gigs and go... Not always, but sort of go, I wonder if there's a load of drummers at this gig. And then you see something like that and you're like, oh, no, it's not. It was so wildly out of time. I can't even do an impression of it. It was like, it was just.
Well, it. It's staggering how we forget some people literally have no rhythm.
Yeah.
Some people just don't have it.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, you'll get to a breakdown in a song. And even if you're just keeping the kick going, and the crowd starts clapping, and then you can just hear a couple of claps, really just not going with the crowd. That, you know, you got 60 people all doing it sort of fine.
Yeah.
But some people, it's like some people can't picture anything in their head.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? And it is mind-boggling. I've seen some, you know, people make some dick moves.
Yeah.
But to be a drummer and do that on purpose.
I'd love to.
I must just also say, because the reason you couldn't hear yourself is because this venue has a built-in PA system, doesn't it?
Yes.
Or does it not?
I can't remember.
I feel like it does.
I never set that stuff up. I sort of, I'm usually.
And so obviously with electric kit, either way, you're behind the speakers.
Yeah.
Or it's one of them sound ceilings. So. If you haven't got in ears or a monitor.
Oh, it was wild. So, but this guy clapping suddenly became the loudest sound in the room. So Ben and Joe had to walk over to my kit and just stand over me to literally see where the snare hits were falling, because this guy, it was just all over the place. And it was like, it was impressive. It was like... I'm not even trying to sound like a dick. It was like, how have you not got it? Not even one beat in time. This is mad. But
staggering, isn't it?
But I've played with singers before.
Another bookie could use.
Yeah, exactly. I've played with singers
clap
before.
Control clap Control by George Pickering.
Yeah.
George Cookerin.
I played with a singer once who just couldn't clap in time. So he used to have to watch my snare and be like, clap, and then look at me.
That's
and be
amazing,
like, is that right? And then I'll be like, yeah. And then he'd be like, come on, everyone, get clapping. And I was like, so even some singers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mad. But all in all, fun night.
It makes me think, like, a venue like that, they've obviously like gone, oh shit, bands are loud.
Yeah.
They've probably got problems. I've done so many gigs now where there's sound emitters that are just so quiet, or they've got these inbuilt PA systems, and they're tiny little like 10-inch speakers, 8-inch speakers, or they've got these bullshit sound ceilings that focus the sound on the dance floor, and they're just so rubbish that as a band, well, even if you've got in-ears or not, like, you're just like, this is a joke.
We
will never be good because we're the circumstances we're being put under.
Yeah.
And then that makes me think, the people paying for these bands, for our bands or other bands, and then we know what we're putting out is shit.
But
it's not our fault.
No,
if we're shit because we can't play the songs, fair enough.
Yeah,
but that don't happen.
No,
you know what I mean, like,
Joe said least, that he was like, it's mental. They paid $2,000 for this, and this
yeah,
is like,
yeah, and this is awful. Yeah, you know, electric kit, no amps. It's all going through a shitty, very thin speaker system pointing on the dance floor. If you step off it, I had one guy, you know, turn. Can you turn it up? I could hear him talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From 10 feet away, yeah. And you're like, and then yeah, one tambourine or one clap yeah, can yeah. just dismantle. You know,
yeah.
Like, and you just think like, this is. Where do you put the blame? And it has to be on the venue.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
And there's so many venues out there, in my opinion, hosting bands for weddings. And essentially, you end up feeling like you're conning the bride and groom
yeah,
or the person
do.
Whose party is, the person who's booked, because you're like, this is rubbish.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, we're musicians. We know what it can be. We know the good, bad, and the ugly. Mm. So to someone, you know, someone who can't even clap in time, mm. to them it
yeah,
could just
yeah.
be, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So
well, that's what I
it's
always...
very hard to see what the other people are thinking, what that perception is.
Yeah.
But are people just going, great, live music?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they are, because I've seen some pub bands that are awful, but everyone dances.
But it's a restriction, isn't it? That I feel the frustration for me personally is like, I'm proud of my ability
mm.
and I'm proud of the bands I'm in and playing and, you know, and I like showing people I'm quite good mm. at it.
Mm.
And when those restrictions are in, you're like, it doesn't matter
well,
what I do.
I think that's another thing, because I wasn't playing with any sort of enthusiasm until the last few songs where I started laughing, you know, but and then I was having a good time. But
yeah,
I was sort of watching people watch me and thinking, are they thinking this guy isn't really into it? But it's because I couldn't hear myself and I'm hitting yeah. some pads.
And you can't explain it to them. I'll just say, you know, so there's this thing called a sound.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
this thing called, like, this is shit. Yeah. If you see me at a good one, that's why.
Yeah, come to a Ren gig and then, you know, then we'll talk.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you want to hear about croissants?
Yeah, go on then.
So, keen listeners will know that last week I spoke about a croissant making course. It's great. Probably one of the best days of my life. No, it was brilliant. You turn up, I didn't know what to expect. There was
croissants.
Croissants, yeah. And
number one on the list, surely.
Pan of chocolates. Pan of chocolates or pan of chocolat? Who knows? So I turn up and there's this tall guy.
You're on your own?
Yeah. on my own.
Okay.
Did you think I was going with Elfie?
Yeah, because she bought you it for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
But so she's paid for a day off, a day at home.
Away from me. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
A bit like wives of men that go to the UK drum show, you know. I've bought you this. Like, go with your mates to
that.
Liverpool.
I could do with a day off. What does he like? Baking. Exactly. There you go, George.
Exactly.
But usually, I guess, what I'm saying is, is that if someone in a couple buys a gift for an activity for their partner,
yeah,
they buy two tickets.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because she has no desire to bake croissants, I don't think. So if it was like...
I respect it.
If it was like a tandem bike, then yeah, sure.
She's gone, what's the point in paying for my ticket? Yeah. I don't give a shit about croissants.
Yeah.
George can fuck off and I can sit home, crack open a Guinness and watch the footy.
Yeah, she moved the flat round. She put the bedroom into the living room.
All right.
But that's a whole other story. So,
what, really? She did?
Yeah, that was what she did.
Right, that's why she's done it then.
Yeah.
Did she tell you she was going to do
that? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She just didn't
want you there.
No.
Let's treat the little lads to her.
When it was done at 3, she was like, oh, I thought it finished at 5. You know, so I think she was... fully expected.
She was gutted.
I paid
for the whole day.
It's bollocks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so turned up. There was a sort of wiry man who was like, hey, how's it going? You know, very deep-spoken, interesting, sort of socially awkward man. And then a small Spanish chef. He was sort of her assistant. And I was the first one to arrive. And then there was like 6 other people. So there's 7 of us. It was like a older couple. And the woman kept like making digs at her husband. And no one was laughing. It was kind of uncomfortable. And then there was a man who brought his mum. And that was sweet. And then there were like 2 students, 2 lads who came along. So I was instantly like, well, I'm going to become best friends with them. And just sort of went through all the process of croissant making. So he did the, how you shape them, how you make the dough, how you do the lamination. Do you know what lamination is?
I've got a laminator. I imagine it's not the same process as a sort of A4 bit of paper.
It's where
you make it shiny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shine it up with a bit of butter.
Yeah. You put butter on dough and then fold it over. And then keep folding it over and then roll it out and fold it over some more. And that's how you get the lines of dough butter all the way through a croissant. So we sort of just...
Did you have to take anything with you?
No, you don't have to take anything. But we sort of just learn all the bits, like in a different, it's sort of backwards order. So we do like the proving, so they get bigger. And then you cook them at the end of the day. Even lunch was delicious. They made us this quiche and salad and these sort of chocolate pudding things. Great day.
Are they plugging their quiche making course?
Well, do you know what? They were sort of, because they are a bakery.
If you want to learn how to make this?
It was almost like, well, if you like it.
See you on Tuesday.
Yeah, we make it our cafe. But no, it's just a great day. It was exactly what I said about, you know, if you want to learn how to learn some sort of, I couldn't have learned technique just online, you know, on drums. And it's the same with croissant making, you know. There's only so many videos and books you can read, but, you know, to actually get stuck in. It was great. Great day. Now I've got loads of croissants. I've got some that I cooked. I've got some that I made but haven't cooked in the freezer. And then I've got this big ball of dough for when I want to make another batch. But question to myself, do I think I'll do it regularly? No, because it takes about 48 hours. From start to finish, because you've got to make the dough, rest it for a day, then you've got to make the and then rest them and then prove them and then.
So how did they negate that in the course of?
Good question. Another good question.
6 hour day.
So they had dough ready made, and then we just sort of made that into our croissants, and so that was why we used pre-made dough to make it, but we were allowed to make our own dough, then take that home because obviously, you know. Can't do a 48-hour course in a day. But it was great. And get this, I've signed up to another cooking course in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Pizza this time.
Right.
Fatto Romano, the best pizza place in the world, in my eyes. They're doing a pizza making
ever
day.
Heard of a little pizza place called Domino's?
But an email came up. Hey, do you want to come and... Yep.
I'll Was this through the same company?
No. Very different. No, I mean, they do it their own thing. I mean, both companies sort of just do it their own... I mean, it's January. I'm sure it's the same with anywhere. They're like, fuck, we haven't got any money. Let's teach these idiots how to make dough, you know? But yeah, thoroughly good day. I'd recommend it to people.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to learn how to cook something, get on a course, because it's going to be a nice day. You get fed, you learn how to do stuff. You know, I'm not into spa days, so that's my equivalent of like a spa day,
right.
I'd say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get to make some food.
Or if you want to get your partner out of the house for the day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speak
Find
to
what
Alfie.
They like. This is a Drum and Drummer pro tip. If you want some time on your own, just, you know, buy them a cookery course. That's all I got. Did you have a segue from croissants?
I did. It sort of stems from you doing this course in person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Then I briefly mentioned last week about mixing and sitting in with Neil. Did a little mix session together. And mainly because I think I've just done not to blow my own trombone, I think I've just done the best mix of my career.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily about the fact that it's the best mix I think I've done.
Mm.
The band might fucking hate it.
Mm.
So if they do, then it's irrelevant what I think of it. But I'm very proud of it. I'm like, but it's not necessarily it's more about breaking through a plateau.
Mm.
And I think, you know, same with drumming. I'm sure you're having plateaus breakthroughs with all that sticking and that. So you know, I've been mixing professionally now for 12 and a half years, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's the story as old as time itself. You think you're good,
yeah,
but you're not.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. And then you get better and you think, I've got it sus now.
Yeah.
You haven't.
Mm.
And then you do something out and you go, right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're still shit. You're still shit compared to... you could still make something sound good.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, if your clients are happy, great.
Mm.
But people's expectations are high.
Mm.
Because what they hear out there is very well recorded, well mixed, polished, well mastered, you know, records.
Yeah.
And that's what people want to sound like. Anyway, so I've definitely, you know, I've improved, and you've got to keep wanting to improve. That's key, whatever it is you're doing. But it's very easy to kind of get stuck in a rut and do the same thing over and over again. Like, oh, I want to, you know, oh, I do this to my kick drum, oh, I do this to my guitars, and I pan things like this, and this is my vocal chain. And it can be very hard to disrupt that, your own methods.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things where, you know, it's the same, what I'm trying to tie this into drumming, but so many YouTube videos out there, or so many people going like, do this and you'll be better, do this and you'll be better. And so much of it is horseshit.
Yeah.
Or it's good information, but it's the wrong information for you.
Mm.
And the problem is with art or things like that, it's so subject. There is no right or wrong.
Yeah.
There is, you know, there's fundamentals and basics that should be nurtured. But other than that, you can mix a guitar however the fuck you want.
Mm.
If the client's happy and if people enjoy listening to it, it doesn't matter how you got there.
No.
But there are general principles that apply. Anyway, so it's where do you get that information from? Where's your trusted sources?
Mm.
And so many people, essentially like clickbait, of like, get this plugin and it will change your... And it's not about that.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a good plugin, it's what it does, but it's about how you use it and understanding how it does. And one thing that's really... I felt when I did this mix and I finished it, and I was like, the process was enjoyable.
Mm.
So that's number one.
Mm.
That's good. And I sat back and I think, oh, it just, to me, sounds what I kind of want a record to sound like. It sounds big. It sounds, there's energy.
Mm.
It doesn't sound digital. Like, it's got an analog-y sort of feel, like of that full-on, in-your-face, in-your-ears realism to a mic up against a guitar cab or drums being hit, things like that. And, you know, the lows are good, the highs are good, it's well balanced. It's a very well played song, and it's a very well arranged song. Again, that's not me. The guys who wrote it did a lot of the arrangements. But one of the so basically, like, I've been mixing a certain way, and you're like, you kind of do the same things. You're like, yeah, I'll do this again, and it works on some recordings. You struggle on others because you're trying to apply blanket methods to different things, different recordings, and then you tweak. But what you really learn is, after about 5 or 6 years, for me, this was the case, you go, you've got to use your ears.
Yeah.
You really have to use your ears. And actually what happens is your ears, right, so basically, I've been mixing a certain way and getting good results. Mm. People were happy. Mm. I was happy. And then, me and Neil got together to work on this new Victoriana promo. And he was like, I'll mix it at the studio and we can just sit together and just see if we've picked up anything up over the last couple of years that might be good for either one. Workflow methods. It's very easy. You just go, even on a technical level, in Pro Tools, if you just do that, it moves that. And then you're like, oh my God, that's changed my life, a little technical thing. Neil's great. And he showed me a few things that he was doing. Most of it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense to my ears. That's what I would maybe look to do, those sort of things. But he had a few techniques, especially with drums and other little things with guitars that it was like, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
I'd be really interested to try that out for myself. But what I found interesting was it can be very hard to hear a subtle EQ change.
Mm.
It can be very hard to hear what a compressor's doing or what saturation's doing or what a limiter's doing or those sorts of things, or high pass filters, low pass filters. It can be very hard to hear them. But, you know, I see on Reddit or something, someone's like, I play around with compressors, but I just can't hear any difference. And a lot of the replies, and I agree with it, because you have to train your ears to understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Neil was making these changes, and I was like, I can really hear what that's doing.
Mm.
But in a weird way, more so than if I was sat there doing the same movement in the plugin. So what that led me to was like, him being there and pressing the buttons and it being his decision to do that thing, but me sitting there hearing it and seeing it visually, was so impactful in about 5 hours watching, because I fundamentally understand what he was doing. But it's weird, like, if I was sat at the computer and I made that change, I feel like I wouldn't have been able to hear the change as well as me, but him doing it.
Yeah,
it was like my ears opened up, and I think that takes me to like, him just showing me these few little bits and watching him do that just like 4 or 5 hours. Then I did my mix and I tried to implement some of these, and I went back just to double check what he'd done, and I started implementing them. Don't forget, with 12 years experience in mixing behind me already, but I was just like, I can just hear everything better. I can... these decisions I'm making feel better. And it was like, instantly I leveled up.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what you do. And it's mental, because I've been doing it so long. but then I was like, some of these, just all these things just made more sense. I could hear what everything was doing a bit more. And I really believe that's because I just sat with Neil and watched someone else do it in person for a day.
Yeah,
and I think that kind of ties a very long-winded way of talking about it, but I think that really reinforced to me, and not to say you can't learn from online, you can't learn from YouTube, and I imagine it's probably quite similar with you and Pat, just the difference of being in that same room and having someone physically there and showing you. And I guess even if Pat's showing you something, maybe, you just being able to see it right there live in the room,
yeah,
is so much more impactful than watching that on a YouTube screen.
I think it is. And I think that's why I always, whenever I try to learn or improve my drumming before studying with someone again, I'd give up within 20 minutes because I thought, well, I don't know where to begin. But also, even if I do find the right things to learn, how do I know if I'm doing it correctly? I think it's just, it's obviously so important to work with someone who can, show you that you are doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Get that feedback. And, because otherwise you don't know what you're doing. But that's what, you know, to bring it back to my books, it's only now that I sort of go, oh, actually, I feel like I can go away and learn stuff on my own and feel confident that I know all the correct things that I should be looking for, you know, making sure it's not flamming and making sure it's in time and my technique is good. But I don't know how you'd learn. And also it's nice to learn with someone else, you know, it's like I'd much prefer, learning croissants from a nice old Spanish woman, she's not old, than BBC Good Food, you know, to bring it back to the croissant course. But I think for you, and I think something else I was going to say, mixing, it's funny with those things because whenever I've had a quick go on Pro Tools or anything, I sort of go, oh, EQ, let's try this. It's like, woo, and I'm like, I don't know what that's doing. It sounds funnier now, like, you know. So I think that's another thing that you mentioned, which is true. You do, you know, it's, you can learn, you can use all this stuff, but if you don't know what it's for, it's pointless, you know.
Yeah. And I think it is just taking, like, it's probably taken me about, I mean, yeah, the whole career, but really, like, seriously, where I start thinking, going, oh, I'm doing some good stuff, maybe, like, 5 years ago. And now it's like, oh. But it's almost like, it wasn't just watching Neil. Like, some of the things he said was like, and almost there was a lot of validation and going, like, oh, he's done that. That's maybe what I'd done. He's done it like this. And I can hear the benefits of him doing that thing. He may have just gone about it in a different way, but kind of also then when mixing, being, oh, it just takes, I see a lot of things on Reddit and it's drums, recording, whatever. People are like, oh, I've been doing this 3 months and how do I get better? And people are like, practice and time.
Yeah.
And it commonly comes up, especially with mixing. It's like, oh, you won't be any good until you're about 10 years in. And that's not because you're not talented or not musical. In a lot of cases it is. People go, oh, I want to record music, and they can't play an instrument. It's mental. It's mental. Mm. The equivalent would be like, I've been playing drums 2 months, so I want to be in a band. Well, all right. Well, give yourself a bit of time to practice, you know. Is how long it takes. And it's almost like muscle memory. And I think with the mixing, although it's not like a physical thing, but I think it can be the same with like running. You run it or weightlifting, you're trying to break a PB. I had it with deadlifting. Just couldn't get a PB for love nor money. And then you feel like you're getting worse. And then all of a sudden, bang, PB goes up instant, you know, like nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not just those conditions on that day, or in this case of the mix, good drums, good recording, good song, good production. It's a cumulative effort of the last 5 years that for just some reasons all come to the front and made sense, and I'll go, oh yeah, you can now hear these things, you can these decisions are coming clearer. But also as well, it's not to say that my next mix won't be shit, but I just feel like I leveled up. And one of the big things, I won't go into it now, but one of the big thing reasons why was with the drums was the power of the ambient and overhead drum mics as opposed to the close mics. So I'll go into that another time. Go into that another time.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to save it for the next time as well, is cleaning cymbals.
Yes.
To clean or not to clean? That is the question.
Yeah. Well, if that's not a reason to come back next week, listeners... I don't know what is.
And find out which one of us is the traitor.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, of course right. You haven't.
We should wrap this up.
We should, yeah. I'll cut this down because this is lengthy.
Just cut out whatever I said. It's a 10-minute episode. You talking about mixing. Well, see you next week.
Yeah, yeah.
We might have a guest at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
See.
Get on the old Instagram, innit? Find us at Instagram. Send us an email. Yes. drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Yeah. What's the Instagram again? Yeah. What is it?
drumanddrummerpod@drumanddrummerpod.
I think it's drumanddrummerpodcast. I'm going to double check because it's mental. We don't know. drumanddrummerpodcast.
There we go.
Twitter, @balldrummers. Get in touch. But yeah. Hey guys, just an episode about practice, leveling up, plateauing, croissants.
It's good, yeah. Well, I'll say one more thing because we do need to end. That's my thing with drums now. I think I was always in a rush to like, right, I've got to do it. But now I'm like, I'm not going anywhere as a drummer. And if I stay in good health, you know, I could be drumming for the next 50 years. So it's like, I don't want to say what's the rush, but almost like I do want to see how good I can get, you know. Just in every respect. That's why I like doing this fucking independent stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a lesson to be learned from patience. Like,
yeah.
I imagine with those stick books, on the surface, they look quite easy. Maybe the four-way coordination one, not so much. But what I was alluding to earlier is it'd be very easy to feel like, well, I can play exercise one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Let's get to exercise 27. It's not about getting to exercise. It's about taking your time and making sure exercise one is perfect. And sometimes it's not about completing it and ticking it. It's about cumulatively over the time what the brain and the muscle memory and the hands will lock in. And eventually, and this is what I wanted to kind of sow the mix in, and eventually if you just keep doing that graft and keep doing that stuff, then all of a sudden, maybe when you least expect it, bang, you're going to level up. And it's not one little thing that does it. It's the cumulative effort of the last X number of months or years that finally your body and your brain click in and go, you can do it. It makes sense.
Exactly. And that's what I like. I like when
overnight.
When I'm trying to do something and it fucks up. I like when it fucks up and I go, oh my God, why can't I do this? That's why I quite like that now, you know, because it's like, well, that means I'm learning, you know. If I went, oh, this is easy, then what's that in a fucking booth on my own? Like, who am I impressing with that? You know, oh, I can do this. Who's listening? Who's listening to me? You know, so it's like when I'm like, oh my God, why can't I do it? Then it's like, good. That means it's going somewhere. Anyway. See you later.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.